The Round Table on Crick Info Talk.
Hello and welcome to the Crick Info Roundtable. I'm Tony Gregg. Australia v England, India v Pakistan. These are some of the great rivalries in world cricket. But there is another rivalry that has developed over the years, so much so that it now rivals the Ashes. It's the clash between the best, that is Australia, and the wealthiest. That is India. Recently, these clashes have seen the most talented cricketers in the world involved in enthralling contests. India halted the march of the Steve Waugh-led Aussies, side that's back in 2001, and then came close to upsetting Australia in Australia in 03-04. And then the Australians finally conquered the final frontier in 2004. India now travel to play a four-test series in Australia, beginning with the Boxing Day test match at the MCG. Australia have lost some of their great players. Some of India's greatest cricketers are in the twilight of their careers. Both sides have youngsters keen to establish themselves in the international arena. How will this series shape up? To answer these questions, I have with me Ian Chappell from Australia and Sanjay Mandrekar in India. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Johnny.
Looking forward to having a chat about this. First of all, may I ask you, Australia has been the dominant team in world cricket, barring the recent blip in the ICC 2020. But in terms of challenges, India have troubled them the most in recent years. How will these two teams be viewing each other? Can I start with you, Sanjay?
You know, 2020 cricket is new to everyone, and I think Australia, you know, has been talking about their lack of impact or inexperience, and they would like to work on their 2020 cricket. And, you know, when India beat Australia in South Africa, the captain was, you know, if you can read between the lines, was trying to suggest that, yes, Australia is still not coming to terms with 2020 cricket, and it's something that I'm sure they'll be focusing on a lot more as time has progressed. As far as other cricket is concerned, I don't think India has quite challenged Australia as they would have liked. In your opening statement, when you mentioned that the best team in the world, Australia plays the wealthiest team in the world, that's India. I think that is why this clash is getting the kind of attention that you know likened it with the Ashes and India-Pakistan, is because of the fan following and the following for Indian cricket that sets up this clash. It's a pity that, you know, we can't talk about Australia, the number one team, playing against the number two team, which I would like, on just pure cricketing strength. So I look at, you know, Australia is still the dominant team. India has the potential, but potential without results, as you know, doesn't amount to much. 2020 cricket, I thought India really competed well against Australia, and even today are a threat to Australia if there are 2020 games slated. As far as one day and test match cricket is concerned, in the recent past, Australia have a clear winning record and a much better winning percentage against India.
I think the reason why India has troubled Australia in test cricket in the past is because of their batting lineup. It's very, very strong. It's still strong on paper, but the problem that teams face when they come to Australia is the dominance at home of the Australian side. Something like six test matches in the last 12 years is all they've lost. Everybody talks about the difficulty of batting in Australia for the opposing sides, particularly sides coming from the subcontinent, from the low bounce to the high bounce. But we shouldn't ignore the difficulties that bowling sides have when they come to Australia. And in that period that I just mentioned, or certainly since 2000, the visiting sides have paid a price of about 50 runs per wicket in Test cricket against Australia. Now, you're not going to beat anybody if you keep giving up 50 runs per wicket. And that's where I see India's problems on this tour. I'm not convinced that they've got a bowling attack that's going to dismiss Australia reasonably twice often enough. I'm not even sure that they can do it once, let alone more times, and you're going to need to do that to win the series. So I think that Australia will be pretty confident going into this this series. India are, you know, talking a very good game at this stage. I think they're making, well, certainly from the comments of Harbhajan, I think they're making one huge mistake. Harbhajan is saying that anything that the Australians hand out, you know, in other words, if they start chatting to them, they're going to hand it back. Well, I think that's stupid. I think the Indians would be much wiser to play to their strength, which is to be wily. And if I was the Indian team, I'd just be looking at the Australians every time they start shooting their mouth off. I'd be smiling at them. I'd be occasionally laughing at them and driving them mad that way. I would not be responding to them in kind.
Sanjay, can I just ask you, on the back of some of those comments from Ian, about the preparation of this Indian team? We've seen England arrive 5 and think that they can play against Australia with not much preparation and getting used to, if you like, the bouncy pitches, both from a batting and, as Ian has pointed out, bowling point of view. You know, I know we have a packed calendar, but look, they're not going to have much time, are they, before this first test match?
Quite right, Tony. To be very honest, I'm a little pessimistic about India's chances on this particular tour, especially because of the kind of cricket that they've played before playing this series and the preparations that they have in place. I mean, playing a very lackluster Pakistan team on docile, typical Indian pitches is the worst kind of preparation that you would want to have before a tour of Australia. I believe Australian tour and the World Cup is an opportunity for a team like India to test their real strengths, where they have risen in as far as world cricket is concerned. World Cup and a tour of Australia gives you that opportunity. It's the toughest challenge and it's the greatest platform for the world to judge your abilities. And I think the BCCI has not given enough attention to the tour of Australia. Rahul Dravid, when he was captain, was looking at this tour as, you know, the tour that will really set India apart, and made a request to the BCCI to have more warm-up games to get used to the Australian conditions, to which the secretary replied that, you know, modern-day cricketers have to adjust quickly. It's not possible to have warm-up games and, you know, too much time before a tour. And the worst thing was a Pakistan series, which meant that India was winning, playing well, lots of their batsmen were getting good scores. So, you know, you don't really get to see the true value of the player. They were not really tested hard. So the preparations haven't been good. I've just heard that there was another warm-up game between the second and third test match, a three-day match, that has been shortened to 2 days on the request of BCCI. So the BCCI is, you know, trying to make this tour even tougher for the Indian players. So I look at this tour as a real, real challenge for India.
Ian, could you just elaborate a little bit on how you think the Indian batsmen will go? I mean, they came down to Australia 3 or 4 years ago, a lot of them in top form then. Do you think they'll be able to replicate that sort of intensity?
Well, they're certainly going to come to Australia with a lot of runs under their belt. And runs, even though they might be scored on flat pitches, runs do breed confidence, and they definitely help. I think the big problem for India is the fact that Rahul Dravid's coming in not very good form. And I think that, you know, he's a crucial guy in Australia because, one, of his class, two, his technique, and three, the fact that he was so important last time. So he's the one guy that probably isn't in the greatest form, and he would be, to me, if I had anything to do with the Indian team, he'd be the guy that I would really want in the best form. So I think that's a bit of a problem. I thought in England Ganguly was probably playing as well as I've ever seen him, and it looks as though he's continued on in that form. Tendulkar, he's a different player to what he was at his peak, but he was still surviving and playing well enough to make good runs in England. Now, playing in this fashion, if he does that in Australia, he'll still be very handy in the side. The thing that India have got to do is not just come and play for survival as batsmen. They've got to play aggressively. Now, this is where Ganguly could be really important, and a lot will depend on where Ganguly bats in the batting order, because if he's in the best form with a lot of them and he's playing aggressively, but he's coming in at number 5 or 6, then India can be in trouble before he gets there, and then it's hard to extract the team from those problems. You know, I've heard all about how Sehwag's not making any runs and so on, but I still think that is a gamble worth taking, because if Sehwag comes in at the top and he takes on the Australian fast bowlers and he challenges them and he gets away with it, then that'll make a huge difference to the Indian side. That's a gamble I'd be taking in the first test match. Now, how you sort the rest of the batting order out, it's going to be difficult, because someone's going to be upset because a lot of guys are in good form and don't deserve to be dropped. You can't worry about those sort of things. If you come here to beat Australia, you've got to play them the best possible way to beat them. And the reason why Sehwag would be important, now Brett Lee in the series against Sri Lanka bowled very accurately. It was almost as though he'd slipped into Glenn McGrath's shoes and copied a few of his ideas. But you must still be thinking that the old Brett Lee, when he was challenged by somebody taking him on, that's when he started to bowl a lot of bouncers, a lot of Yorkers, trying to bowl batsmen out, and that's when the runs came at a very fast rate on occasion. So if Sehwag can go out there and he can provoke Brett Lee into being the old Brett Lee, not the new Brett Lee, then he's winning a victory for India and he's doing a lot of good for his side. To me, the Indian batting lineup looks terrific on paper, but as I was told as a youngster, you don't play cricket on paper, you play it on turf. And if they can put that potential out on the field and perform, then they'll worry Australia.
Yeah, well, I totally concur with your views on Sehwag and Ganguly. If they fire, because they're such aggressive players, it may just be that they'll get one or two of these the Australian bowlers on the back foot. Sanjay, no McGrath, no Warne. In the recently concluded series against Sri Lanka when Kumar Sangakkara got going, the Aussie attack, didn't quite have the same bite. Is there anything to read into that?
Yes, I think, Tony, let's not forget, this Indian batting lineup has a lot of experience and a few of them are on their third tours of Australia. I think more than McGrath, it's Shane Warne in the middle, you know, that Australia might miss. And as that Kookaburra ball gets softer, and as I get the feeling Ganguly, in spite of his form, would still want to bat at five, and I wonder whether Kumble has the power to push him up the order. So I see people like Yuvraj Singh, Ganguly, Tendulkar, you know, batting at number four, five, six, getting some runs. I think that is where India's strength will be seen. It remains to be seen how quickly they get those runs to put pressure on the Australians. But I see, you know, once the ball gets a little old, I see Australia just maybe tested with this batting lineup. You know, some of the batsmen not in their prime, but certainly come there with a lot of experience, and I expect them to score runs from that experience.
Just on another, on the other question, Sanjay, Ian mentioned that he was a bit worried about the bowling, the Indian bowling. Can they take 20 wickets?
I'm also, I think, in sync with what Ian just mentioned. We come to Australia with a very big weakness. And to be fair to the selectors, I think, injuries to Srishant, RP didn't quite help because Zaheer Khan, RP Singh and Srishant would have been a decent attack. Not the greatest, and not that, the Australians would spend sleepless nights thinking about. This is our second string attack. Unless somebody emerges on the tour as, a sensational find, I see India go into the series with a big weakness. The spinners, Anil Kumble and Harbhajan Singh, also on Australian pitches. Anil had a good tour last time round, but a couple of times before that, he didn't quite get enough wickets. Harbhajan Singh's overseas record is pretty poor. He knows about it. So, yes, the bowling is going to be a bit of a weakness.
Can I move on to the captaincy? Ian, your thoughts on Anil Kumble and how he will handle the job down in Australia, or how he's going at the moment, and his role as a bowler?
Yeah, I think Kumble was a good choice as captain. It gave the Indians a bit of time to have a look at Dhoni. I mean, if you throw Dhoni in his first Test series as a captain, he's up against Pakistan. We all know what happens if an Indian captain loses to Pakistan. And then, the tour to Australia, which is a hell of a challenge. So I think it was probably not a bad idea to just keep Dhoni away from those challenges right at the start of his career. So I think the choice of Kumble was a good one. I remember the quote of Imran Khan when he said that a captain must understand bowling. Certainly Kumble is going to do that. And just looking at the scores and looking at the series with Pakistan from afar, I thought Kumble did a pretty good job. And I think he'll do the best he possibly can in Australia, but I think he's going to be thwarted a little bit by the depleted attack that Sanjay referred to. It's also a matter of what sort of balance they're going to come up with because they just haven't been able to find the all-round. Ganguly, I see, is bowling a little more. That may afford them the opportunity to use him as the third seamer and pick two spinners, although I'm really dubious about Harbhajan Singh. I think he's become more of a containing type bowler than the attacking bowler he was when he was so successful against Australia in India last time. I don't think he's bowling with that same confidence and that same aggression as then. But I think Kumble will do the best possible job he can. And if you're an Indian cricketer and you can't follow Anil Kumble to the ends of the earth, then there's something wrong with you, because he's an inspiring cricketer, and I think he's a very good cricketer. He's a very aggressive bowler. And if he captains in that style, he'll do the best possible job he can. But I think he'll be thwarted by, a lacklustre bowling attack.
Just on that subject, Ian, Kumble, the bowler himself, it sounds to me as if you, as a result of your comments about Harbhajan Singh, he's going to be very important in the spin department then.
Yeah, I thought he bowled particularly well last time he was here. He struggled a bit in the first test, but I remember Richie Beno saying on commentary, Kumble will be much better for this long workout, and he was absolutely right. From that time on, in the series, he bowled brilliantly. And I think he worked out how to bowl in Australia, whereas on the previous tours he had struggled a little bit. So I don't think he'll be a problem as a bowler, but I think his problems will come in the form of the pace bowlers. You see, India performed very well against England in the recent series, in fact beat England in that recent series, and a lot of that was to do with the fact that they swung the ball. That's exactly the same reason why England had success in 2005, and also why they struggled out in Australia in the last Ashes series, because they were waiting for the ball to swing. It didn't swing a hell of a lot in Australia, and certainly the old ball didn't swing much, and that seemed to me like that was the one plan that England had. When it didn't work, they had nothing to fall back on. Now, I think that India's pace bowling is a little bit in the same category, that they rely very heavily on the ball swinging, and if it's not swinging, then look out, there could be trouble.
Sanjay, what about the grounds they're playing on? They're playing on the MCG, first test match, SCG. That's the Sydney Cricket Ground. Then, of course, we go to Adelaide and Perth. And just judging by some of the bounce that seems to be back at Perth, certainly some of the pace and bounce in Adelaide, do you have any thoughts on what you think they've got to do on these various grounds, especially bearing in mind the first test at the MCG?
Well, as we all know, the first test is going to be critical because India go there with hardly any preparations. If they have a good first test match, then there is some hope. But I think about the venues, you gentlemen would have a better idea how they would respond to Indian bowling. While Ian was talking about Indian bowling, there's another thing that I worry about, is this new trend, you know, approach that India's next generation is trying to get in, you know, the talk before the match, you know, the kind of bowling attack, especially the seam attack that we have. Now, this attack might want to show the Australians that, you know, we are not going to get cowed down and we are going to be as aggressive as you. And I hope they don't go out there and start bowling aggressively. I think our attack is meant to pitch the ball up and try and get it to seam, get the batsman on the front foot, try and get them to drive, induce edges more than, you know, trying to hit the deck and try and beat them with pace and bounce. I see that as a little worry. India has to play smart cricket, not aggressive cricket. And this new trend that I see, you know, where India is trying to give it back to the opposition, that's never been the style of Indian cricket, you know. Gentlemen, Mahatma Gandhi was our leader, you know. I mean, it just doesn't suit India to play like that. We've got to find our own brand and style of cricket. And what I'm seeing recently with the aggression, that doesn't necessarily translate into good cricket. I think when we play sensible cricket, when we play to our strength, that's when India plays well. I think under Ganguly from 2000-2004, it was only Sourav Ganguly's, you know, natural traits and characteristic that came to the fore. I think nobody else was pretending to be somebody else. They were just playing to their strength, and we had our best years in that time, and that was a time when India also, you know, challenged Australia a little bit. So I hope Anil Kumble, you know, gets his players around and tells them to just play to your best and find your own style of playing and performing and excelling.
They've always been, I've marked them down as a wily team who can outsmart you. And that's the way they should play. They can outsmart Australia if they, you know, if they put their minds to it. But if they go in there and try and lock horns with Australia, they'll come off second best. Australian first-class cricket, that, you know, that's the way the guys are brought up. The, you know, the teams lock horns, and they're used to that. And the better players, the better Australian players, I think it helps them if they get into that situation, a confrontational situation. So, you know, I've always been a great believer that you do exactly the opposite of what the opposition wants.
On the subject of being wily, Stuart McGill looks as if he's not going to be playing Test cricket for a little while. Is it a fait accompli that Hogg will nip into the side and take his place?
This is a big weakness that India need to exploit. That's the reason why it's important that they challenge those fast bowlers. The Xavier gamble comes off, then India have got a real chance of giving Australia some problems, because Stuart McGill is a recognised test match wicket taker, but there's no other spinner in Australia that you can put anywhere near that category. I mean, everything that's coming out of Melbourne at the moment is saying that the pitch there is very, very flat. There hasn't been much life in it at all. You know, there's a lot of people jumping up and down and saying, let's play four quickies, you know, because we've got a lot of pace. You know, I think that's rubbish. I always felt, as a captain, that if three quickies couldn't do it, four weren't going to help you much. And the last thing you need in an attack is, you know, a whole lot of bowlers who bowl the same. So, you know, I think Australia really need to go with a spinner, but whether that spinner is going to be any good or whether he's going to be effective against India is another matter. At this stage, it's got to be Hogg because there's really no one else. You know, I mean, I'm not convinced about Brad Hogg as a test match bowler because I look at his first-class record in Australia, and what I see is a guy who, you know, he averages more than 40 a wicket in first-class cricket, which wouldn't fill me with a lot of confidence if I was the captain. I accept the fact that he is a better bowler than when he last played test match cricket, but how much better, that's what I would need to see at test level. And I think that is a real opportunity for the Indians to exploit an Australian weakness.
Righto, it's time now for some predictions for the test series. Sanjay, can we start with you? What's going to happen?
Australia will dominate. I see Indian batting also having some good days. I can see some batsmen playing some memorable innings in Australia that the Australian crowd will enjoy. But I see while all that is happening, the bowlers will constantly be pulling the Indian team down. I see this as a very weak bowling attack. And I see Anil Kumble as our number one bowler. And let's just hope that, you know, that few of the Australian batsmen, especially in the lower middle, the middle half of the batting, fine. Anil Kumble a little difficult to handle. That remains our hope. So I see some, you know, sparkling innings from some of the Indian batsmen. Bowling will really pull us down in the series.
Yeah, in the series, whitewash?
No, I think India will probably draw one somewhere along the line. I think India's best chance is in Sydney. Yeah, it's always helped the spinners, and I think there they've got to just bite the bullet and play two spinners, hope they win the toss that first and make a decent score. Then they might be able to scramble a win. I see the Perth could be a disaster for them because Perth, certainly for the 2020 game against New Zealand the other night, and talking to Sean Tate the other night at the Sydney Cricket Ground, and he said it's getting back to what it used to be. I think if Australia are having any trouble with their spinners, they probably will play four quicks in Perth, and that could be a bit of a nightmarish game for India. So I'd say Australia certainly is in Perth. India's probably only real chance, maybe a slight chance in Adelaide, but certainly a real chance in Sydney to win. But I think realistically, if India can draw one or two, they've probably done about as well as they can do.
Finally, let me just button. If you remember, Ian, before the last tour, I told you, you know, this Indian team is different, and you know, expect a few surprises on that tour of Australia. The last time round, I mentioned about Virendra Sehwag as well. This time round, I must confess, I'm not that hopeful as I was the last time round when the team toured under Ganguly.
Very honest of you. Thank you, Sanjay.
Well, I've got to say that I'm rather like Ian Chappell, and I think you probably agree, Sanjay. If Sehwag and Ganguly have a really good time with the bat and there's some aggressive batting, it may just be that we'll see some really good cricket. But I, too, am of the view that the Australians will continue to dominate as they have in recent years. Not good for the game of test cricket, but unfortunately, that's the way it is. The series for me will be dominated by them, and I expect them to win at least 2-0, and it may even be 3. So there we are. That's the discussion for the day. Thank you very much, gentlemen. That's all from this edition of Cricket Info Roundtable. This is Tony Gregg signing off.
The Roundtable on Cricket Info Talk.